This is great. Let's see what happens tonight. Oh, God. Tin's gonna let Roberto die in battle. And...
Whose computer's shitty now?
Speaking of RAM, she shows Roberto off the side of the cliff.
Woke up in a lucid dream. Now we're hunting for the shards. We might be an oddball team, but at least we've got no bards. World Walkers.
What's up, everyone? I'm Pedro, the GM and creator of World Walkers, a weekly podcast that, from seasons 1 through 3, followed the hilarity and hardships of a group of world-hopping adventurers trying to save existence. That being said, after season 3, as in theory all of you know, we switched up and we completed that story, and we're currently in the middle of a new story during season 4. But I wanted to put together something a little special in honor of the fact that this weekend, I'm going out to meet the World Walkers in real life for the first time ever. I'm pretty excited about it. And so to kind of do something special, I thought it'd be fun to reveal, I don't know how much of this is actually a secret, but we kept playing after season 3 for a little bit. And those game sessions have been sitting on my computer for a while. And I thought, you know, it would be fun to dig back into this stuff and listen again before I went down to meet all the World Walkers. And then I thought, you know, it'd be cool to kind of celebrate this whole thing. I decided to actually edit it all into another episode, something I'm calling the Lost. I don't know if I'm going to call it the Lost Series or the Lost Episodes. We'll see when I actually put it together. But I decided, let's edit it, make a new episode, and share it with you all as basically a thank you for being such amazing members of the World Walkers community and for, making this and everything else that's going on with World Walkers possible. So there's only a couple games. I want to be upfront. This story doesn't finish. We played for a little bit and then we decided to wrap it up. So, but if you're interested in hearing a little bit of extra after the end of season 3, this is what we did. But yeah, sit back, hang out, and listen to episode 1, Robot Canada. Okay, so does anyone remember where we last left off?
We discovered Roberto wasn't dead after grieving for him, and then we were like, better go get him a new body.
All right, so actually where we last left off was you had just cleaned up after yourselves after a hearty night's sleep and a beautiful night of song and remembrance over the amazing night of adventures that you've all had, catching your new gnomish companion up to the all kind of, I don't, it was a night of bonding, because this is after the musical episode.
Mm-hmm. Right. We yes. Laughed, we cried, some of us just only cried.
Apparently there's going to be a fierce rat battle.
Yes. There has been a fierce rat battle, and I believe the winners were you, the audience, listening.
So it's the next morning. You guys are cleaning up your camp. Hopefully you're not just leaving it a shitty mess at the feet of Brummelstone's grave.
Damn American tourists. Brummelstone would have loved this.
Solo cups everywhere.
Yeah, I was thinking just crushed PBR cans.
This is the way Brummelstone would have wanted it.
There's like a dead guy on the other side of it.
It's like, how did he like crumpled in the grass. Like,
who is this? What happened?
That's Doug. He partied way too hard.
Corpses everywhere.
Classic Brummelstone.
It's the memorial he would have wanted.
With that, where are you heading off to?
Hey, Roberto, in all your times since you, you know, weren't actually dead, do you have anywhere that you would suggest we go to get you a new body?
So, I come from the land. I have to go back to my... hold on. I have to look up what Pedro told me. I'm sorry. Please give me one second.
You mean what God told you? Yes, no.
You mean what you've always known?
What I've always known, but I need to access my memory banks because the hard drive is a little bit old.
We've got to go back to the Dell store.
I really hope my warranty computer. Is still active after this millennium. It's only active for 2 millennia. No. I have to return to my birthplace, which is Melthasir. You have to take the stone there.
All right.
Please.
So,
Tin. I mean, if you can, you don't have to.
Tin Latan with everyone is. Tin's like, yeah, so we'll go opposite direction. she, I guess, looks at everyone and is like, to Melthasir?
Melthasir.
Melthasir. Yeah.
It is on Obrimos, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a couple days
you
east.
Were born on Obrimos, so yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm old. I forgot a lot of shit.
Like, has Roberto's brain been affected by his, like...
It has, actually, because Enzo and I talked about this a while ago, and I hope you remember. Enzo, you have gained many levels in your travels, right?
Mm-hmm. Hundreds.
No.
Hundreds of levels? I'm a level 500.
Do you remember? But, I want to make sure we talked about this, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. So basically what happened was that, like, you know, Brummelstone and Roberto, they were extremely powerful by the end of their days. And then over time...
I mean, he was powerful to begin with.
he has... basically, Roberto's starting over to level one. And then we'll rapidly gain his experience back as he travels with you.
Okay. So you're saying Roberto is really more of an asset. Sorry, like a liability than an asset, right?
I thought you were just calling him an ass.
Yeah, that's
what I was like, there's a lot of attention paid to the ass. Roberto is really an asset.
This is how Ertlby starts to flirt with Roberto. Like, only stone form Roberto.
Yeah, because now Roberto's the oldest one in the party.
It's no longer...
Ertlby always wanted an older man.
Before, she would have put the moves on, but he was three. Now.
He makes me feel so young.
Okay, so...
I really look forward to this Ertlby flirts with a rock episode.
What if she forgets which one is Roberto and she's like just randomly talking? Ertlby flirts with a rock.
Ertlby turns Roberto into an engagement ring, proposes to herself.
Roberto, I love the strong silent type. That's the wrong rock, Grandma. Just playing coy.
She carves abs into the rock.
Chiseled as always.
I also like that it's like a glowing blue stone, but Ertlby has mistaken it for like a rock, just like lump of rock.
Okay, so Roberto, from here, do you remember which direction that is?
Nay.
Is that east?
Yes, east.
I was like, wait. Okay. Are there Are there any
we just keep asking him till he gives us the answer.
Which we just way shake
is it?
Him.
Which way is it? And,
the answer mysteriously floats to the top of the stone. Ask again later.
Yes.
Signs point to yes.
You stop shaking me.
I just love the way Enzo said, nah. And then, oh yeah, east. I just want to say for now, I'm just like, ask Enzo a question and then like kind of just wait a second.
Answer unclear.
Definitely maybe.
Yeah.
But okay, so to the east, I guess Tin would look at everyone else and just say, like, is there anything else that we need to do here? Or are there any supplies that we might need to get in, like, a town that is on the way or nearby?
I feel like we gave a beautiful farewell to Brummelstone last night. Perhaps the most beautiful. And I experience great closure. Let's get this beautiful stone, a beautiful body to boot.
And is Vasa, like, hungover from all the singing the night before?
She sung so much that she can't talk anymore.
Yeah, I think that's it. Vasa sang so hard, it was like going too hard at karaoke. All right, well then, let's... Yeah, yeah. Tin's actually kind of slightly relishing the fact of potentially being able to lead in some way. So she's like, east, but points west for a second, and then corrects to point east.
I like to think that, like, Voss is already 30 feet in that direction. Like, just walking.
Just doing a hungover stomp.
This is actually a good question before, like, out of game before we go. We've always... this is an interesting situation because usually, like, if someone isn't, if someone's not playing, it's because they're not here. And so their character kind of mysteriously fades into the background. But we have a unique opportunity because Jane actually is here, just has trouble speaking right now because she's sick. moving forward, what do you guys want to do? Because, like, in other games such as Critical Role, somebody always plays the other character. Do we want to establish some sort of, rule that somebody takes over somebody else's character? Do we like what we do moving forward? Whereas, like, the character's not here when the player's not here. How do you guys like that?
I think we had this conversation before and we all,
we have, I just forgot that it's been a while. So I'd like to revisit it.
Yeah.
No, you Enzo, you go. No,
or do we want to play it where Jane's... Because I don't want to... Since the listeners can't see what's in chat, I don't want to play too much from the chat because they can't see it. But, yeah, what do we want to do? Do we want to have Vasa here in some way since Jane's here?
What if she, like, yeah, since Jane's here, what if one of us kind of reads the chat in their role as, like she whispers in their ear because her voice is so scratched up from karaokeing so hard. And,
Roberto is the one around her neck.
And I also see that Jane has posted that, yeah, like, she, like, in a few rare moments can chime in with either yes or no's or... like, here's a feeling that Vasa is having right now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's that. And then, yeah, as you guys are all packing up, you can see that there's a little bit of a stirring, and from her tent, Vasa stirs, and she's you can see that she's kind of late rising, but she's starting to pack up, and then she would pause a moment, and then she's holding on to... Roberto Stone, otherwise known as Rock Orto, and she nods meaningfully at Brummelstone. And then she's gathered the rest of her gear, and it looks like she's ready to go, and she kind of gets everything situated, and she looks like she's ready to move. And and then she turns her head and she pukes. Because last night was a good night for all. But maybe there was a few more drinks than were needed, maybe. I don't think anybody would agree to those assertions. But there are different truths for everybody. And then you all gather your stuff together and you're ready to go. Last night was definitely worth it. You were able to say your goodbyes in your own unique ways. But then you turn to what's before you and you see the many, many beautiful rolling hills that lay before you. This is not going to be a walk along the beautiful but easy to traverse plains that you may have been hoping for. Many, many hills lay before you. Are you ready to begin your journey?
A good butt workout, yeah.
You can my glutes. You can see as the sun begins to rise more and more, rays of light catch the tears that kind of well up in Vasa's right below Vasa's eyes as she sees the hills that are about to meet her feet.
Gunther heads happily into the east direction.
You know, it's times like these reminds me of why I wanted an elephant to begin with. And then Tin just like shrugs up, like she has like the biggest, tallest pack, and she's just like, let's go.
Where do we follow?
Roberto has no choice but to follow.
Right. All right.
It's like so, Roberto's like, get going. Come on, Vasa.
Yeah. eventually, usually, like, as you guys journey, you know, you all have, like, your strategy. Maybe someone's in the front, someone's in the back. With her keen perception, you usually find Vasa strategically placed in the back, or maybe she's always in the front because she can see what's coming up ahead. Not this time. Vasa eventually follows. She's lagging far behind with pitiful steps, doing her best to seem like she's still in the group, doing what she can to follow you all. The group continues their journey, continues to begin their journey. You travel for days, up hills, down hills, around hills. You wish you could travel through hills, but that is not possible. So up,
do the hills have eyes?
They do not. They just have you walking
so
up
you would,
and down.
We have eyes.
You would say these are silent hills?
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Or are they alive with the sound of music?
No. I would wish I could do that too. No, they're just alive with the sounds of an occasional.
That's Vasa, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like a real hill hole, if you know what I'm saying.
Try as you might to bring joy to this situation, you're all lagging and just dragging. I mean, Roberto seems to be doing all right.
Yeah, he's hanging in there.
But it takes you several days to continue your journey through the hills. It is no fun. But as the sun sets over the rolling hills on your fourth day, the last couple days have been quite cumbersome, but finally you see a wondrous sight. The last of the hills roll low and deep, and below you, a city opens up before you. Built into the foundations of the valley with beautiful marble and stonework, the city of Mel-Tasir is comprised of beautiful architecture and many, many, many flights of stairs. In fact, the majority of your time in this city will be walking up and walking down thousands of stairs, it looks like. The city also seems to have a sewer system with many grates strategically placed throughout to prevent the city from flooding. As you approach the city, you can see it's comprised of many dwarves and gnomes walking about their day. Before you can get any closer, though, you are stopped by the guards of the city, figures in decorative plate armor with various gems adorning them. You can't see their faces, but their size would suggest these are massive individuals, much taller than dwarves, probably humans. There are six of them, each standing 20 feet away from each other, though they're drawing closer towards you. Each of them have glaives or maybe war hammers, and they're kind of boom, 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 kind of getting closer and closer and closer to you. But they're not exactly getting in front of you. They're allowing themselves to kind of getting a kind of a half circle around you. Not getting too, too close, though.
Roberto, you know anything about these boys?
Answer, easy. would Roberto know anything about them?
Yep, I'm sending you some information right now.
Yeah. Ooh, thank you.
Nah.
Pedro, yes.
You want to check your memory on that one again?
File not found.
404. Oh, wait, here it is on the desktop. Never mind.
Gotta come up with a better naming scheme besides childhood underscore memories underscore. FGFGFGJJJJJJJ dot childhood memories.
So they're kind of getting closer and closer to you, and they're not getting aggressive, but they are definitely forming something of a perimeter around you.
Are they doing like a step routine? Like, no. Is it like kind of like Oompa Loompas?
No, I just shouldn't have made that noise. I know as soon as Megan started giggling to herself that I was all right, well, wrong noise.
I thought you were going to go like the loop, the loop, the loop.
That's what I was doing, yeah.
Can we tell they're human? Like, can we see skin tones or anything? Or is it
no, they're not getting that close. And they're in full plate armor, visors down and everything.
Okay.
So what does... Tin's like, Roberto, are you sure you don't know anything about
yes.
They're wait, I can't see. Can you hold up the rock? Wait, how does this work, actually, if I'm the no, I'm the wind. As long I'm like near the rock. Okay, I don't need to okay.
Good answer.
Sorry, I was just
you seem
wondering
to have
if,
a good
like,
grasp on this boy.
Unfortunately, Roberto, the wind does not have eyes. So
the hills, on the other hand.
If only you were a hill.
the ones that are approaching us are forged from Obrimas. I mean, we are on Obrimas.
From here.
From here.
Yeah. They're from us.
Well, I thought they might be from here. Well, that's what I thought. Can you speak?
And they're from now.
They're from right currently.
They are present.
Yeah, if that's all they say, you know, like, Gunther would ask if Roberto wanted to speak to them. You want to speak to them? Maybe you can speak a little more clear than us. You are from Obrimos, and you are a forged.
Wow, I can expect a forged to know other forged just because they're forged.
Wow.
So racist.
Wow.
No, I just thought they speak a common language, maybe.
Enzo, can we make a song called Robot is Racist? For our recap. Okay, sorry.
I mean, I can try, but they are of a different... They're different from I. Like, I... They're different... We're a different tribe.
Is that not the right background? Word.
Sorry, I can't stop the train.
Is that what
Roberto
they sound like?
Roberto is speaking in train.
That's their language. I can't understand it.
Hold on, Roberto. Enzo, why do you think that?
They're from a different tribe?
This is where you were born.
Oh. Yeah, but like...
They're actually all your cousins. They're very excited to see you. They're really offended that you do not know who they are.
No, this is where you're from. The only reason they look different is because you drew your own character.
Roberto, are you related to these people?
No. Oh, who's racist now?
Dad?
Who's racist now?
So, Roberto... Roberto.
I like that they're just like slowly encircling us and impaling us, and we're just like, "Do you know them, Roberto?"
I think the case for Roberto having Alzheimer's for being so old is great.
Strong. Yeah. Your Honor, Exhibit X.
Okay, so but they, like, so you do recognize these?
Do I recognize?
Yeah,
them?
I mean,
Okay.
According to the lore.
All right. I can attempt to speak with them, but I can't really remember who they are unless I get a closer look.
You wouldn't, I mean, again, you wouldn't know who, it wouldn't be like Dan?
Like, oh, it's Kevin the Forge. Yeah.
Anyways, by this time, they've got you fully surrounded, and they're like, the half-circle idea is long gone. You're in jail, Noah.
So Tim kind of, looks up from the conversation, notices that they're surrounded, and is like,
state your name and business, please.
Oh,
One of them says, the one with, like, the emerald scattered around his armor.
It's me. Kevin. I come in, I'm a forge.
Sorry. Now we know the origin story of Kevin. Revorto all along.
Revorto would say, or speak, like, I am, my brothers and sisters, I am from, I'm home. I am.
They're looking around.
I am a forge that has been unchained from his body, and I have returned in the hope that I can attain a new form and your
They're help. Looking at Tin. What happened to you?
Oh,
Tin tries to, like, mime what he's saying. but then she's like, just kidding, and then points.
It's a real Milli Vanilli lip sync moment.
She actually points to Vasa. And then Vasa does a thing.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, sorry. I moved the chat box.
Yeah, I was wondering why everyone paused. I was like, chained.
Oh, yeah.
Megan, this is your moment to shine.
sorry. I moved the chat box off to my second screen. Sorry. Yeah, so Vasa, looking very haggard, staggers her way forward. And holds up Rockborto and just kind of points at it. And they all kind of go, oh, no, brother.
It's cool.
What happened?
I went on a grand adventure with my brother and my creator. And
who was your creator?
His name. We're from the family Brummelstone.
I've never heard of that family.
Hammerstorm. Shit, was I supposed to, like,
no, keep that on the DL? Your last name's Hammerstorm.
I like the idea we're surrounded and are like, your last name is Hammerstorm.
Yeah, your last name?
This is how we get in, Talking Rock.
Oh my god.
Old Borto.
Old Borto. Well, I come from a great family of Robortos. Because that's my first name, and that's everyone's first name.
The Hammerstorm. I come from the Hammerstorm family.
Look kind of suspicious now.
Why?
Because you don't know your name.
I'm old!
Hey, old, nice to meet you. I'm Kevin.
Kevin Brummelstone.
It's been hundreds of years. I apologize.
His name is Roberto. Tin. So Tin steps forward and
well,
so
come
she's...
to the Hall of Birth. We'll check your records. We'll see. Hundreds of years, you say, huh?
We're going to see his birth certificate?
He's an illegal immigrant, guys. Oh. He doesn't have an expert.
So Tin will also, like, while they're kind of moving or whatever, Tin will just say, like, my friends, sorry, we've just been reunited with Roberto after a while, and it's been a journey, so excuse us if we seem a bit out of sorts. We also have been traveling for a couple of days, and those hills are boring. So, just regular hills.
Extremely silent.
Yeah, extremely silent. Somebody put some eyes on those things. About them.
They look at each other.
So anyways, yeah, we'll go with you to check out his birth certificate.
Yes, please.
Birth certificate.
A record?
They all kind of laugh with each other. A birth certificate.
Right?
What a hilarious concept.
Okay, his birth tablets lab.
Well, we're not all going. Where are the rest of you from? Forgive me, you don't look... Were you born here? They asked him.
Yes.
What is your name?
Aluminum.
All right, give me a deception check.
God damn it. A 9.
Okay.
Wait, did I actually?
No, you didn't. Then I guess we'll just check your record too, but you can tell he doesn't believe you.
No.
It truly doesn't matter who we are. We are just here to help our friend.
They all pull their heads back in unison. Oh, it doesn't. Oh, okay. And then
they're
fine.
We're all friends from different worlds.
Oh, wait, what?
Well,
so you're not from here then?
No, I am. I am from I am from here, but my friends are not. But they're cool. I vouch for them.
Wait, and they look over at Gunther. He's not from here?
I'm afraid not, sir.
Oh, jeez, we're gonna just let him in. Where are you from?
I'm from the mighty world of Rolanus.
They look at each other. From what?
Like, it's far away, but you guys seem friendly enough.
Oh yeah, we're not the problem.
Oh, that's true. Well, I seem friendly enough. You have to be afraid my compatriots here. They are might be suspicious, and they've been out traveling for a long time and have been seeing some dark things. They told me about it in song. I can attest to you that it might shaken them a bit, so they have a hard time trusting anyone here.
Well,
now, do you know the stone statue of the dwarf that sits about, how many days was that travel in? 3 or 4 days over the hills?
Oh, Brummelstone. Hammerstorm.
Yes, Brummelstone Hammerstorm. Now, beside him sat a large body that was covered in grass and growing. And from that, we rescued our friend here, Roberto, whose Vasa is still very politely holding up.
Wait, this is Kilrum or Roberto?
Well, he took the body of Kilrum. You see, the World Walkers here, that's what they call themselves. You know, I think it's a little hokey, but you know, whatever.
Whoa.
Gunther calling us hokey?
Wow.
Wow is right.
This is severely going through a
fantastic effect. Story. This You're needs to be entered in the halls of in the Hall of Knowledge.
Oh, I love the... You have a Hall of Knowledge full of stories? Well, that is right up my alley because we worship the God of Stories.
This is fantastic. We need to speak with Neville right away. Come.
Who's Neville? Let's go.
Neville Henshaw. He's in charge of the Hall of Birth and much, much more. Anyone who wants to can roll intelligence checks.
You know I'm gonna.
It seems like Enzo already has a lead on this.
Oh, wow, Pedro.
What?
9.
I got a 2.
Wait, did you say Enzo has the Roberto has the lead?
Yeah, you seem like you already have an idea of what's going on.
Oh, I thought you meant, I thought you were poking fun because Roberto has -2 intelligence.
No, I said Enzo, not Roberto.
Oh, gotcha.
Gunther got a 16.
Okay. So what do you have, Enzo?
4.
4? Oh, wow.
Are you even paying attention? You're still trying to think if you know this guy. He bears a passing resemblance to a guy I went to high school with. Maybe this is his great-grandfather. This is Jeff.
It's like Vasa takes his seat off to the side. It seems like she thinks this is going to take a little while. So, what did Megan get? Or what did Tin get?
A 9.
And Ertlby?
A 2.
So Gunther, on second thought, you start to wonder, the group kind of went through a lot of hassle to make sure that the brownie, the little custodian of time, was not aware of any of this. Like, they were keeping this whole Roberto Kilrum thing on the secret. And now you guys have come into the town and announced quite loudly that Roberto was hiding inside Kilrum. You've shattered the statue. Hail, Roberto. Let's go to the Hall of Knowledge and record this. What a great story. Brother of the legendary Brummelstone, who was a Hammerstorm.
Yep.
And Brummelstone made it really clear that he was his last name was not remembered.
Shit.
Quick question here, Roberto. Now, you guys told me a little bit about this stuff. They seem a mite too eager for this.
Ertlby would sidle up between them, like, because Gunther's talking to the rock right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Ertlby would, like, stick her head up and be like, we should trust no one. We don't know what this new world is like. We should be very careful and move with extreme caution.
So we shouldn't go with them.
No, I think we should go with them, but we should use fake names. Remember, Grum Tildswiper, Aluminum.
I've never heard that story.
Roberto.
We didn't get to that song.
That was on the B-sides.
Gunther, are they still within hearing shot of all of us? Like, hearing range, all those people?
I assume so.
Wait, is there something I can cast?
I'm just saying. Gunther would whisper, you know, we should go with him because I don't know if we have another spot to get a body, but we should just be careful.
Can we just tell them that, like, Roberto's just Kilrum's lovable nickname, and they're just the same person?
I guess, like, why does it matter that, like, Roberto was in Kilrum's body? Why can't we just tell them that?
Well, let's find out. I mean, that's only one way to find out. Well, I imagine that you come from a place of time that they're going to be a mite upset with some people who mess with time and or.
Yeah.
There might be some issues there, but I don't know for sure. That's just a guess off of mine. We just tell stories where I'm from, so.
We don't want the brownie to undo anything. Yeah, is the worry.
Yeah, basically to push it a little further, like Roberto was hiding inside Kilrum the whole time until the brownie left. Because that was the whole deal, was that like Roberto can't, like he allowed Roberto to go back in time, but he didn't want Roberto to be some kind of like all powerful immortal being that got to live through like centuries of time and then continue messing with time like after that. Like he thought that like Brummelstone and Roberto were intricately linked and that they would stay bonded together forever. And Roberto basically just faked him out.
Boom. Classic.
Yeah. And then he just hid inside the statue until you guys showed up to pay your respects. And he was like, hey guys, I'm not actually dead. I'm right here. Let's go.
Okay. Okay. So.
Honestly, guys, I mean, do you know another place to get you a body, Roberto?
Mm-mm.
I guess this is kind of the path we got to take. We just maybe need to be a trap more tactful than I'm used to being. So.
Concern Gunther is them putting this information inside the Hall of Knowledge or whatever that place was called.
We got to have a secret story, guys. So everyone think of your best lie and we'll tell it together at three.
All at once.
So can we just... that forge that was talking to you is like, come on, let's go. This seems really big.
Can't we, my brother, can we have a few minutes to discuss?
Sure. Sorry. And he takes a step back. He's like, but hurry up. It's here. You don't have a body, man.
It's cool. It doesn't hurt.
No.
Actually, can we like try and get like a private room somewhere? Maybe can be like, hey, we're kind of tired from traveling. What do you guys think?
He seems like, because he doesn't trust you, he's like, no, you're new to the city and I want to get you guys taken care of as fast as possible.
Taken care of.
I like the idea that this is Rolana's forest all over again, where it was like fine and we were all like, what are all these birds? Who are all these people being nice to us?
Well, if they you had like a city of Roberto's, they would be like super nice, right?
Yeah.
And I worry that like I would just trust them too much.
Are we in Robot Canada? Is that where?
So they give you a healthy amount of space, but they're still in the area, especially because they are the city guards. So they're probably not gonna be like, yeah, you guys just do you. Like,
okay, so yeah. Just to be clear, this is Mephistopheles.
Real close, Meltasir.
Meltasir. Okay.
So
Belbazar. Got it.
Belbedere.
Roberta would turn to the group and he'd be like, what do you guys think of just telling them instead of like trying to deceive them and stuff? Because one, they are for my brother Forge. Like, how do you feel about us just telling them mostly the truth, not so much like lying, but lying by omission. More like, you know, like tell them like, hey, like we can't have this story put into the Hall of Records because we are in danger.
Well, do you know anything of this Neville?
Neville?
You would, yeah. So Neville Henshaw is kind of the head gnome engineer when it comes to the Hall of Birth. He's a very old gnome, and he is the one that kind of foresees all of the Forge's creation.
Yeah, like, I would feel uncomfortable lying to them.
Yeah, it seems that we just need to communicate with them that we can't have it going down, because the last thing we want you is pulled back into time because the brownie has gotten caught or something. I mean, he told me he could take it all back at some point. Yeah. So if we does that, you know, it sounds like, I mean, the world I saw was not so pretty until Rumblestone got involved. So,
but do we?
This is the best timeline. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead, Tin. You just. I'm just spitting and pontificating over here.
Do we have any, first of all, do we have any proof of anything to show them of, like, if we did tell them the story for them to believe us? And then second of all, if they did believe us, like, do we have anything, I'm just curious, since we are outsiders and they seem suspicious of us, Tin, glances over at the guards. I don't know how, accepting they'll be of outsiders coming in, asking for a new body for a forge, and then telling this tale, and then saying, "Oh, but you can't put it in this thing of knowledge."
Well, so Neville himself here, he's a gnome. He seems on the up and up. I mean, you've met him before, Vordo?
Have I met him before?
Yeah, he's like the doctor that pulled you out.
Okay.
Like he birthed you.
I mean, it seems like someone who would do that would want to help you find a new body, and I think he's understanding, but you know, I guess we just can't have him writing it down in the Hall of Knowledge. I got a little excited about the books, I'll admit that. But it does seem that some stories we gotta keep secret.
So both of them seem kind of in agreement. Tin's a little hesitant. She looks to Ertlby to see if Ertlby is leaning one way or the other.
Ertlby, her brows would be furrowed, and she'd say, "I sense that lying isn't the way forward. I agree with you there. I just worry the worst case scenario where they interrogate us why we won't share the story. I don't know the norms of the Hall of Knowledge, but I know I don't want Roberto in there. And so if we need to run to get away from Roberto's identity possibly being revealed, I'm prepared to do that. I really don't want to risk Roberto being taken from us. Not after we just got him back."
Gunther would look at you and he said, "We should be honest but not forthcoming. And if it ever gets to him, them taking Roberto away, you know there's only one thing I like more than talking, and that's fighting. So we'll get out of here."
"Then let's do this." Okay. Tin pops a knuckle. Cracks her neck.
Is she supposed to do that?
It's just her making the noise of it cracking.
She's going crack, 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 crack.
Play crack dot j dot wave. All right, let's go. Yeah, and Gunther would be like, "Take us to Neville."
And turn around. "Oh, you guys ready?"
You should see if you remember one fun fact about Neville that he would be like, only your closest friends would tell you.
Okay. Neville has a freckle.
Yes.
On his left collarbone.
Yes. On your third butt cheek, you have the words tattooed.
Third out of how many butt cheeks?
Butts are a recurring motif.
Actually, it explains a lot about Roberto, if you think about it. Yeah, so I guess we would follow, but Gunther would try to take like note of ways out if he saw any. I mean, there's 1,000 stairs, so going
there's
down.
Lots and lots. This is a metropolis.
Is Neville the master of these stairs?
Is he the stair master?
Oh my god!
All of you make your way down the stairs, down and down and down and down and down. And then once you get down X number of stairs, the forge stop and they look at Roberto and they say, will we be taking the portals and your friends be taking the rest of the stairs, or would you like to accompany your friends? Now, Roberto, you know there are portals that allow you to whisk your way around the city briskly, but they're not used by outsiders. So what would you like to do?
I will stay with my friends, but thank you.
Sure, of course.
Wait, can he teach us how to use the portals?
Never. Thank you for asking. Stairs.
Why is everyone so rude to Tim?
And then he stops. He sympathizes. He goes, I am sorry. Let me explain. The runes that we use to activate the portals can be learned by any number of spellcrafters, which would mean that anyone that learned our runic system could invade our city at any point in the future, which means we cannot allow outsiders to see them, which is why not only do we not allow outsiders to use them, we also change out our runes every so often to make sure that they're not accessible by outsiders. So even if you were a spellcrafter from outside of that was a member of Mel'Tasir, you still can't use our runes because we changed them out. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, thank you. I apology accepted, and that makes sense. Yes. So
that's a very secure system you got going on there.
Sounds cool. Wish I knew it. Not to attack, but just, you know, it sounds cool. Better than stairs.
Like, wish I knew it. His head tilts like.
It's just better than I stairs. See. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My name's Aluminum. I don't wish to attack. I just want to know your secrets.
My name is Killmonger.
You'll learn that I'm prince of this world. I have a birthright.
Did everyone see
show him your serial number.
What? Did you see what Vasa is thinking right now?
Yeah.
Wait. The, like, thing Vasa is thinking.
About Tompkins?
Yeah. Wait, did we already talk about that?
Oh, no. Yeah, it was...
Damn it.
I left that earlier.
Okay, everybody, I need to just go throw myself out this window over here. Have a good rest of the game. I spaced out, didn't notice Jane's joke, and then I interrupted Wes's joke to be like, ha! I'm really sorry.
But you laughed earlier when she first typed it, so now I'm wondering what you were laughing at.
It's a Wes eruption, is that what you're doing?
Maybe I'm going to let you finish, but Jane had the best joke of the night.
The best joke of all time. Okay.
Oh my god. Anyway, sorry. So, you guys, because, I mean, it's a metropolis, it takes a long time to walk through. It's most of your night. Just walk in the city.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, can't use the portals, so.
Yeah. Well, Roberto could.
He's a rock.
Yeah.
I choose not.
Gunther would try to make...
I choose for them to suffer.
Gunther would try to make small talk with the guy walking him around.
Sure. What's your conversation like?
Well, just what's your name? How long you been here? How'd you get on a guard duty?
He doesn't want to tell you his name. He's kind of... But if you talk long enough, he tells you Sassafras.
Well, that's a great name, Sassafras.
that's cute.
Who gave it to you?
My mother.
Oh. Tell me more about her.
She died.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Gunther would be truly empathetic to him.
Then he warms up a little bit and he says, yeah, invasion. Gnolls. Decided to become a guard.
Is that what made your city so protected here? I'm sorry.
No. We've always been pretty protected, but I don't think we were doing enough, so I stepped up.
That's awful noble of you, Sassafras.
Thanks. Anyway, so, by daybreak, you finally make it to a large arch that you're able to walk through, and just like on the outside, everything is kind of this beautiful, kind of like pearly white marble. Grand, beautiful hall, and you walk down the corridor for about 50 feet, and it opens up into this beautiful round room that kind of dips in, and there's lots of seating area, and it's kind of like almost like old school kind of like Rome lecture hall. And then there's lots of runes in the middle, like kind of large circles and circles and circles that kind of keep coming in and collapsing on themselves with runes, 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 runes. And in the middle, there's a large pillar, all made of marble once again, with runes etched in this large, large circle that kind of spiral. And this Roberto you would immediately recognize as the Hall of Birth. This is where everyone's brought in, and the family members are brought into the middle, and they're placed on different runes, and the ceremony begins, and this is where you were born. You've been witness to many a birthing ritual over the years, but at one point you were in the middle of this ritual. You were in the middle of this room because they place the elemental stone in the middle, and then they place the armor that will one day be your body all around the room and begin the ritual. And pacing the room, kind of re-etching some of the runes, is a gentleman who you have seen many times. He always, regardless of his actual expression, he has kind of a sly look on his face. He has raised eyebrows almost at all times, a triangle elongated beard, olive green robes with intricate runed patterns that kind of match the floor splashed across the front of his robe. He always walks with a staff with a cracked elemental stone that's an emerald that he holds onto. Every now and then he kind of brushes his hand alongside. He has a thick, beautiful leather gloves with etched runes on the top of his hands as well. And he turns around and looks at you. And you know the meaning of that stone, but it's nothing that you'd want to bring up to anybody right now. And he turns and looks at the group and he says, oh, well, hello there, everyone. And Sassafras bows and he says, these individuals would very much like to speak to you about someone very interesting. And the rest of the forged walk away. But Sassafras stays in the room and kind of stays in the back, and he says, "You are definitely want to go. You're definitely going to want to hear about who they've brought with them today." And he kind of pauses for a moment. He goes, "It's Roberto Hammerstorm." And he's
Sassafras. I thought we were cool.
We are cool. What are you talking about? Because no one's told him not to say anything.
That's true.
Yeah, everyone's kind of been like, okay, he's not we spray. Yeah, cool. And then you're like, how's your mom? No one's asked him not to say anything yet.
A little
yet.
Bit about him, you know?
Yeah, just no, it's cool. So
Gunther would follow suit, seeing Sassafras bow, and he would, you know, bow as well and say, like, hello, I'm Gunther.
Hi, Gunther. And then he says, I don't remember you. And he looks at Tin. Say, oh, this is Aluminum. She was born here as well. And he looks at
I said far away. I was born far away.
No, you said you were born here.
I don't recall that.
Alternative facts.
Were you born here? They asked him.
Yes.
No. No.
Hi, I'm Aluminum.
Looks up and down. No. Try again.
No, that's my name.
It's not. If you're gonna lie, you should leave now.
Guys,
Tin just remains silent.
Master Neville, you will have to forgive us. We have traveled long, and we have my compatriots have trouble trusting, considering all the adventures and the dangers that we have encountered.
Adventures, okay, that explains yes. it.
We are battle scarred, and as such, it is hard to trust. But I assure you, once I have demonstrated to you, once I have demonstrated to them that you and all my brothers and sisters in Malthusia are trustworthy, they will begin to lighten up a little bit.
Lighten up,
sure. He's kind of walking around a little bit. Kind of he does this a lot. He always paces around a little bit as he thinks. Young Hammerstorm, what's happened to your body?
So and that
where's Brummelstone?
So that in itself is also a long story. But the thing is, like, I will tell you this story, but I need some assurances from you.
He raises his eyebrows.
If
his raised eyebrows just keep going up.
The only thing that we
the ceiling.
They just lift off his
He's hovering
head.
Up in the sky, just following the <wrist.
laughs> it is just we think of it as a small request, but we're not sure if it is. We request that all that we tell you not be entered into the record.
And he kind of smiles. He says, "Does this have anything to do with that statue several days away?"
It has everything to do with it.
And he goes, "Say no more." Then he kind of walks over to you and he kind of kneels down to the stone and he smiles and he says, "I always knew you two would make something of yourselves."
This is really nice. This is super heartwarming.
I just like to imagine the stone is making that squealing noise.
That's what I was like. And as he does, the wind kind of picks up. Like,
oh my God.
Thanks for listening to episode 1 of World Walkers The Lost Episodes, Robot Canada. Thanks to Kevin McLeod and Alexander Nakarada for the music in this episode, and Sirenscape for the sound effects in this episode. You can find their work at incompetech.com, freepd.com, and sirenscape.com, respectively.
Jane, you should record yourself so we can lay no. down some sweet, like, coughing.
Poor Jane's coughing, and everyone's like, "Ha, ha, 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 there's Jane.
You fucking loser."
We're punchy. Sick. We're punchy tonight.
Jesus.
I'm
sorry.
You fucking loser.
I was like, man, everyone's being kind of mean. Enzo's like, "Ha, ha."
Oh, you're sick,
like,
you piece of shit.
It was like Ed McMahon when the mic's not hot anymore. He's like, "Johnny, did you see that last piece of shit?" Hi-oh! Enzo's been the sassy one this time, the whole time, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening.
I love it. Yeah.
Except for when Megan said she didn't give a shit about Wesley's week. That was pretty great.
I said no such thing.
I'm just glad you can be honest with yourself.
It was heavily implied, but never said. So.
That's even better.
I knew you reminded me of my mother for a reason.
Oh my God.
That's not true. My mother loves me, which is very
Can we
funny.
Just do a stand-up show together, everyone?
Where we, like, roast each other, or...
Yeah.
I like the idea that it's roasting and immediate apologies afterwards.
Yeah, I was like, oh, God, I am real sorry for that.
I'm sorry, really sorry about that.
And then Enzo comes in like, fuck off!
That's it. There's like nothing creative. It's just like insults.
Just a stream of insults. Yes.
Olivia, you're stupid! Yes, nailed it. He's like proud of himself.
Enzo, you cut me to the bone! I'm crying so hard. I'm basically Megan.
Oh my god, I'm like choking on an ice cube. All right, cool. I'm going to mute myself while I choke, so.
If Megan disappears, I guess we'll have to give it like 5 seconds and then call 911. I won't know if she's actually in trouble.
I just start waving frantically.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fine. Like, we have your address, so we can, like, go and get all your stuff while you die.
Yeah.
And so it's like, dibs on her computer.
No, your computer sucks.
Oh. Oh my god! Enzo! Wow. Oh my god! Whoa!
We're really hoping that, I guess we're hoping that Megan doesn't have a will, Jane, if you... Yeah. Megan, Enzo's already divvying up her shit.
Just out of spite, I'm willing Enzo my computer. You gotta get rid of that piece of shit.
No!
You gotta deal with it.
No!
I'll tell you, this is totally completely unrelated, but I'm putting up as a Patreon reward my brother trying to explain to us what the fuck he thinks golf is. And his explanation of... JFK being a two-term president and JFK establishing his own airport.
Okay. This sounds...
So if I know you guys aren't listening to the other podcast, but if you want to hear my brother...
You know what? I prefer my history unbutchered.
Golf is sacred.
I was like,
to
you
me,
know
so.
That Frankie... I was like, Frankie, you know that he did not make it to two turns, right? Like, well, I don't know if he made it the full two turns, but...
Nope. Frankie.
Was like...
Frankie... You got to go to Hollywood. And that's a Frankie Goes to Hollywood joke.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's a band.
I look
look
forward
it up,
to guys. Laughing at this clip and then not remembering that I laughed at it and then interrupting Wes later.
You guys are okay.
Eh. I only strive to be mediocre.
Well, you're doing great. Oh, keep it up, kid.
You have succeeded.
You've achieved it.
Yes!
Mediocrely.
I don't know. I think she's doing a mediocre job.